Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Ethereal Styles and Soulful Smiles with Alan and Jay. And I'm joined here with my partner, Alan. Say hello to everybody.
Hi, good evening, everybody, and happy Wednesday.
Welcome. As Alan said, if it's Wednesday, we're getting together for Ethereal Styles and Soulful Smiles. It's our show and our opportunity to discuss relationships and all the many facets of them and all the different ways in which we are affected by them in our life. And today is no exception. We're going to continue the conversation that I started earlier on my show, The Psychic Playground, where I was talking about we were having a show around a wellness check. And that was that opportunity for us to stop and check in with ourselves and to talk about the importance of it. So we're going to continue that conversation with regards to that very same topic, but with regards to relationship and how we do it in our relationships, because that's the real challenge, right? How do we apply some of these tools? How do we apply some of these techniques in order to get, you know, some different results in our world? So, babes, how have you in your life evolved in the sense of how you check in with yourself, how you every now and again stop, whether it's at the gym, you just got out of the shower, or however you do it, but how you have those moments to just center, feel like you're connected, and how does that look for you?
First of all, I think what we go through in lives and the struggles we have and sometimes the thoughts that cross our minds and we go through the rabbit hole and we overthink, overanalyze, and we try to figure out things, it's a big struggle for all of us. We are humans and we are trying to figure things out in our lives. But for me, what helped was if I am in a dilemma and I need to figure things out, I think I'm looking at the problem and why is it there? What can I do to the fastest way, the best way to resolve the problem? And it can be a relationship problem. It can be relationship with loved ones, family, friends, partners, work, anything. And for me, the best way that worked was not talk myself or explain myself out of it, but take responsibility of this is what I did. As much as I don't like to admit it, this is what I did, this is what happened. So what now? My go-to question is always what now? What's next? This happened, whatever it is, this happened. What part of it is my responsibility? How much control can I take? How much control do I have? And most of the time we have control about ourselves, not about other people. And that's where it helped me always to gain a perspective of the problem and the main thing and the solution. And it really did help. Like, for example, in the past relationships that I had and I just was struggling and it wasn't working and I was finding excuses. And at one point I'm like, okay, I think I'm the hamster in the wheel and I keep circling and circling and circling and complaining and talking about the same issue. What can I do here? And without blaming anybody, and I looked at myself, yes, of course, I was guilty of some things. And I'm like, okay, this is what I want. This is what I need. This is what I'm not getting. What is the solution here? We can talk about it. And we did talk about it in the past. It didn't go anywhere. I'm like, okay, if this is going to continue and there is no change, I need to pull myself away from it. And any breakup, any relationship that comes to end is never easy. But for me, the solution, if it was to leave the relationship and be sad or grieve or figure even more things out, was worth it than getting stuck in something and going in circle. And the change is that's what it did for me. I mean, I just have basically is taking responsibility. What part of it is my job to take care of the business?
I have to say that's definitely been a big one for me too. The whole face and the whole take responsibility for what's mine, and not overtake, because I used to do that as a people pleaser. I would take on other people's part of it. But it is important to take on our part of it, to understand, to be able to own it, and to correct anything that may need to be corrected, like to be a part of it, and then to get to the solution. Because I oftentimes would get stuck in like spinning out of overthinking like how I could talk about it or what I needed to say, or like just like overthinking the circumstances instead of just getting to what I need to do and then following through with that. So for me, that's where my practice has been in the learning and how to keep on it, keep going. And that's where it's also tricky in relationships, because I had a certain flow with myself as a single individual. And then since partnering with Alan, now I'm having to learn myself in relationship with Alan. And like, it's kind of like getting to know myself again in a certain kind of way. And I know that might sound silly, but that's the way it feels sometimes.
Actually, I don't think it sounds silly at all, because that's a learning experience for your growth. And I do the same, and that's where we grow. You take responsibility. You look for a solution for your problems. And you weigh things, pros and cons, and what works for you. And honestly, that's what how we learn in this school of life. And if everything was simple and dandy and like really like easy, walk in a park, then it would be plateau. It would be a boring life. So we do have some hardship and some hard work to do to grow and to learn. And I think somebody asked me, what is the point of all that then? Well, your spirit grows. You find peace. And the faster you do the work on yourself, then you have a better, peaceful, joyful life. As they say, a lot of people are like, oh, after my 40s, I'm very happy because, quote unquote, it says, like, I don't give a crap. Of course, we care for people, we care for life, but the small things we don't care anymore because we learned. At this point, at 40, and now I'm at 50 something, I learned that what is important, what's not. And still, I'm learning every single day. I learn from Jay. I learn from my work, my coworkers, my neighbor, anybody that you interact with. And TV that you watch, the shows that you watch, look at them, look at their behavior. If it was you, what would you do? And when do we look in ourselves, take our own inventory, how much hardship, how much issues that we have, and how much unnecessary burden do we carry? How much of our thoughts are serving us in a positive way, and how much of them are self-inflicted wounds and drama that we create in our head? And life is really beautiful. I hate the phrase they say life is short. Life is not short. Life is actually very beautiful. It's just a beautiful painting. We just have to kind of sometimes check in with ourselves. And the other thing that I do is sometimes when I'm down, and we all get there are days that we are not perky or all joyful. Honestly, on one hand, that's became my thing. On my one hand, I have five fingers and I count five of my blessings. That means a lot to me. And it's my life, my health, my work, my relationship, my home, and my family. Those are all like, that's a huge, huge, huge blessing. And yes, we have all bad days as well. So what? We can work through that. And when you check in with yourself and you find your peace, you find your contentment, you find your blessings, then the other problems or people that cause you problems or give you hard time, they will seem so much smaller because you are in a good place and nobody can disturb that place. So checking in with yourself, it is more important than anything else. And work on yourself. Basically, you do work on yourself that what is missing? How can I fix that? What can I do to replace that missing thing in this equation in my life? Do I need it? Do I want it? And all those goodies. And have a self-talk without overanalyzing, without what ifs.
So I want to ask you about that self-talk process. How did you wrangle or interact with that part of yourself to get to a point where you felt like you had more control over it versus it having control over you?
Well, I did my self-talks and I really sometimes had to look at myself in the mirror and just be very honest for who I am. And frankly, I think I'm a cool guy. I liked my own company. With time, I learned to love myself, to accept myself. And being an empath, I can feel, I'm very blessed that I like to have compassion with people. And it helps me. That's my measuring stick, or so-called the measuring.
Like the barometer?
Yes, on my scale. Mm-hmm. So what would I do? If this is happening to me, what can I do? And what have I done wrong? And basically, what advice would I give to this person if this person wasn't me? Honest advice. And yeah, I think that's what the self-talk does to me. And who is affected by it? And it's very important to me to see who is affected based on my decisions. Who am I affecting? And I'm hoping that I'm not affecting anybody in a negative way or in a bad way.
So something you said jumped out at me in regards to like how you've accepted yourself and how that's been a really big part of like then how you can come back out in the world and interact with the world in a whole different kind of way. But it was first through getting there with yourself. It wasn't about what anyone was saying, what anybody was doing, or what anybody else wanted. It was more like being able to do that work to get there on your own.
No, most definitely. Because I remember when I was hunting or searching for a relationship, and the relationship came before me. I always put the relationship before me. So when it wasn't the right person, again, not everybody was bad. They were kind people. They were good people. They weren't a good match. But when I put the relationship first and I didn't check with myself, what is it that I want? What is it that I need? And if is it right or not? If it wasn't right, I would justify it. That, oh, maybe it's me, or I can work this, I can fix the person, and all that bogus excuses that we always bring. Until it came to a point that, okay, I know myself, I'm very honest to myself, this is who I am, and when I meet the right person and I'm in a relationship with that person, what do I do? Either it works or it doesn't work, and I'm very open and honest, and the person sees me, and I see the person. And in our case, I think it was so, we were so lucky that when we met and our stars aligned and we clicked and we understood each other and all that. But yes, definitely, you have to find yourself first. You have to be aligned with your own feelings, own mind, and you really have to get to know yourself and accept yourself and put yourself on the pedestal first. And it's not selfish. That's not selfish. That's acknowledging yourself, recognizing yourself. And then when you meet the person or you get the job and you do this, you do that, you do it authentically, because we are not our jobs. We are not our relationships. We are us. And the relationship, the loved ones, our jobs, or whatever we do is an extension of ourselves. Because without us, without me, there wouldn't be an us. Or without me, the salon I work at, the environment would have been maybe different. Because we all are energies, we all are beings, we are all spirits, we make a change. A small or a big change in any setting we go to. So how about we find ourselves, we become true to ourselves, and then invite the right people in our lives.
I love that, babes. And you are an amazing guy to be around. And to your comments earlier, I didn't get a chance to respond. So we got off to talking on our show topic, and I didn't let you all know how you can join our live chat by going over to 12radio.com, clicking on the chat button. That does take you over to a new screen. It is a private Facebook group with the same name, 12 Radio. Once you get yourself invited in or send over your invitation, I'll get you accepted and approved. You'll be able to see our banner at the top of the page, and then you'll be able to see the comment section, and that's where the conversation's happening, where Renee's joining us, and her sister is joining us, Rachel. I saw the Andrews, and it made me think of Renee first, but Rachel is joining us as well, so it's great to see you. Thank you for tuning in with us and being here for Ethereal Styles and Soulful Smiles. So I am throwing it out to all of you that are listening in, like, how, when you navigate your relationships, do you find it easy to prioritize yourself, or do you find that very hard and complicated? I'm just curious, like, how that is for you, because I know for myself it was complicated. It still can be complicated, but the clearer I get with myself, the clearer I can be with everyone that I'm in relationship with, and that seems to help a lot. As well as what Alan mentioned about accepting myself and him accepting himself on a certain kind of level. And it isn't about the other person. It's more about the inner work at that point. But then once that's done, we can go out into the world and connect as a whole person without any need, you know, without any like specific needs from anyone or anything. And that is a different way to interact, because then when we are coming into relationships, we're not just doing it because we need it, or we're hunting for one, or we're desperate for one. We're doing it because we really vibe with the person, and like we connect on a lot of levels. It's not just one level. That's what I was thinking about based on what you said.
So I like to share a personal information, or probably a story about my family. My dad is having health issues, and these health issues that he's having is affecting his mental state, his liver, his mental state, that he can get, sometimes he gets confused and he gets very, very agitated. And that said, my mom and my dad, they live together. So my mom becomes his, in his head, he becomes his punching bag. So when he's agitated, he's pissed, he's venting at her, and he's not being nice. And the only way he can be kind of calmed, or I would say this, the only way my mom could take the control in her hand and the control of the situation in her hand is by being kind, calm, relaxed, very nicely responsive. But my mom isn't, because she doesn't have the patience, she says. It gets her frustrated. It is insulting to her. So everything that she says sounds she takes it very personal. It is personal. It can be personal if you take it personal, but especially from someone who is not stable. So why am I sharing that story? I was talking to my mom. I said, okay, so think about it. What he says, or if he accuses you of something that you haven't done, why would you take it personal when you take your own inventory, when you know yourself? When you know nothing is truth, everything is far from the truth, he's just confused and he's just yapping and upset and projecting or whatever it is he's doing. Instead of to deflect the problem and the situation, you escalate it by talking back, raising your voice to somebody who's not coherent. So she says it's easier said than done. But then this is where I go in my head. I'm like, okay, yes, my ego would be bruised if you would accuse me of something I haven't done. You insult me, you become mean to me, my ego would be bruised, my feelings would be bruised. But it's not what I do is, and I told her this, you're opening yourself up. You put your ego in the front line. You put your feelings next to that. And then that becomes the target of the other person. Now think about it. Put those feelings and your egos and everything aside. How can I work on this situation that will work for my benefit? I get frustrated when I get in an argument with this person. So what I do is, okay, normally I would react, I would yell, I would scream at a normal person if this person isn't coherent. So I know this person will accept me and listen to me if I speak calmer. So I use that for my benefit and I speak to this person calmly. This is where you evaluate your situation. You pick your battles. Oh, I'm not patient enough. I cannot do this. I've been doing this all my life, yada, yada. Okay, so how's that been working for you? And she has no answer for it. Calmly, relax, not responding. You become diplomatic to find your ground and to find your peace. This person cannot. You can. If you don't react accordingly and you go and yell back, then basically you are nothing more than this person is. You are not comprehending. You are argumentative. You are dismissive. And you're not compassionate. And all that, the excuse is, I am not patient enough. I'm tired. Well, we all get tired from our bosses. We get tired of our friends, families, when they're not nice to us or when we feel betrayed. But hey, that's life. We will have a lot of peace when we are dead. Life doesn't mean all roses and cotton candy and rainbows. That's not life. That's the heaven that they describe. Life is challenging every single moment of it, and it's beautiful. Life is beautiful with its challenges. I am very grateful for my challenges. I'm very grateful for my problems. Without them, I wouldn't have been here. Without them, I wouldn't be able to find my way. So that is where my inventory comes in. I appreciate everything I have. I appreciate every single person that came in my life. Good, bad, ugly, you name it. That's where I am. And that's what makes me really content and happy. Yes, my dad can be frustrating. I've sit with him. It is exhausting. I get it. But I understand that it's not him. And it's hard to deal with it. A caregiver's work is very, very challenging. And it's draining. But if you don't want it to be drained, you have to evaluate what will work in this case. What can I do to de-escalate the problem instead of venting and yelling and responding? Actually, responding would be good. Reacting. You don't want to react. So that's my take of it.
Thanks for sharing your very personal share, babes. It's how we all learn, how we all understand, because we're all put in different positions that we may never think we're going to have to deal with. And then suddenly it's in our lap. And so we, you know, part of it may be the frustration, maybe the oh shit part, But then there is the, okay, well, it's here now. So now we have to deal with it. So let's get to the dealing with it part and not the bitching about it part. And, you know, I think we all love a great story. I know Alan loves a great story. He loves storytelling. And so it's easy to want to perpetuate some of those things. But part of it is also learning that it can also be exciting to perpetuate growth, progress, like expansion, new experiences, getting to be able to talk about that. You know, that can also be exciting. So it doesn't always have to be about the drama or about the nitpicking or about the, you know, having to cut, you know, your friends down so that way you can feel better about yourself. I've been there. I don't do that anymore, thank God. But I was, you know, there back in the day at different times. And we all have to find our way and grow up and find a way to go beyond the more primal feelings and emotions that we have and go into more of like a mind, body, and spirit kind of, like, look at everything from more of a mind, body, spirit perspective. So that way we're not just one-sided or coming at it from our, just solely from our primal nature. You know, we definitely have a primal nature. We're animals, but we're also something even more special. We're human. We have a brain that has cognition and has consciousness. It's aware, and we can communicate. And I'm not saying that the other animals don't communicate, because they absolutely do, but we're unique. I don't think I have to describe how. But sometimes I think we forget. So Cindy is writing in, and she says, "Good evening, Alan and Jay. Congratulations on moving in with each other. I can feel your relationship is blessed." All caps. True love.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much. I appreciate it and very grateful for it.
Thank you so much, Cindy. We appreciate you being here tonight with us. And I'm also curious, in this whole conversation of relationships, does any part of this conversation bring anything up into your mind that you may want to share or may want to talk about tonight? You're welcome to also share that in the comments. And I open up that door for everyone else that's also joining us. You can find our chat over on Facebook. Go to the search bar, type in 12 radio. That's the number 12 radio. You'll see that private group come up. Send over the invitation and we'll get you approved. And then you'll see our banner at the top. And that's where the conversation is happening. So I'm trying to think about what part of this conversation, like where I want to take this conversation, because there's a lot of different kind of areas that we could look at.
So I think maybe I can help here. We've been talking about ourselves and how to check in with ourselves. And then there is the part of us that when we do that and we kind of know where we are, we look at our partner or our loved one and we check in with them. And the thing that we don't want to do is assume. Sometimes we assume that they're okay, or do we assume that they got what they want. It is okay sometimes to check with them and really mean it, not roll our eyes saying, "Oh my God, are you okay?" Because the response to that would be, "Yes, I'm fine." But versus really, really look at them, like look inside them and check with them. Are you okay? Is there anything I can do here, or have I done or said anything? And give them the safe space to come and respond. And if they don't want to talk, that's okay. Give them some time to get their thoughts together and find themselves. Maybe you are faster. You find yourself sooner. You evaluated yourself. Your thoughts are all put together, but the person's isn't. So checking in with your partner, looking at them, it shows our care for our partners. It shows that they matter. And we give them the safe space to come back and open themselves up and be vulnerable with us. And we want to invite that vulnerability and protect that vulnerability. Not just invite them, open them, take it, and then run with it. And actually protect it and and respect it and praise it and value it, because it is very hard for us humans to sometimes be vulnerable and show our soft side, and for whatever reason, we all have our own reasons. So checking in with some people that we know they are in need to be checked in is important, and reach out helping them as much as we can, and and it's very rewarding. I think it's very rewarding when we do that. We see them happy. I think I see them happy. If I could do anything, nothing, just listening, and I feel the person feels better, that's very, very, it brings me joy.
Yes, absolutely. It's important to check in on our loved ones and those that we know maybe are kind of on the fringes of our community. And that, something else along in a different vein that you were talking about, and that was where we can assume what our partner needs or what our partner thinks or where our partner's at. And there is this parable that I learned in the Buddhist tradition, and the Buddha talks about where we get these carved out images of each other, because when someone is in our life for a long time, it's almost as if we forget that they can change and that they do change. But we're still like seeing them as the individual that they were maybe 10 years ago or 20 years ago. Like, we don't ever let them grow up. And sometimes they're proving to us that they haven't grown up. You know, they're even caught up in their own carved out image. But I share that because there is just that idea, you know, and where we can get complacent with each other. Those that we care about, we can, because we know maybe we can get away with something, in the sense of, I can't think of a great example right now. I just went blank. But my point is we can put a lot onto our partners, and we can assume a lot, and that is not going to really help the relationship or our partner. It may help our own unique situation right there, that moment that we might need to get out of, but it isn't going to be great for the relationship. And so I'm just sharing some things that I've come across me.
What do you think about these assumptions? How about if if we assume something in our head and we can confirm it with our partner? Hey, listen, I think blank, blank. What do you think?
Well, I think that's a great point. I love that, because we can, I know for myself, I can get in my head and I can think, like, I can already come up with what I think Alan's going to say, but that's not involving Alan. What Alan's saying is like, where I would ask him, okay, I think, you know, such and such, what do you think about that? And then that gets the actual conversation out in the open between the two of us, not just between me and my own head version of who I think Alan is in that moment, or how Alan would answer that question in the moment. And that's something that I think is important to really think about, because how many times do we do that? How many times do we do that to one another? And then we get upset with one another, and then we like, it just spirals out of control from there. Versus if we can just take a little bit more time to be clearer, and to ask questions if there are any, those are the opportunities for us to work out those details. And I know for myself, as a people pleaser, sometimes I wouldn't want to open up that conversation because I wouldn't want to have to deal with more information. But if you're not people pleasing and you actually just want to have a conversation and you want to be present for it, then it's important to be available for those questions. And it's important to be able to answer them and not come from like a reactionary place, because another thing I would feel would be like a interrogation light was on me in certain circumstances, and the person was just asking me a question, like a simple question, and I was feeling like I was being interrogated by the police. So part of that too is I couldn't say that because I was embarrassed to say that, but like I've told Alan that, like in our relationship sometimes that's how it feels, because I can be honest with him. And then he gets it much better than if I didn't say anything.
Yes, and he rolls his eyes. And it's like, what do you mean I'm interrogating?
So I just wanted to share that because that's been something that I've noticed in myself as growth. That's taken me a lot of energy to work on and a lot of practice to get better. Because I really am like a self-proclaimed people pleaser, reformed now. But I really went all the way with it.
No, yes, definitely. So, yes, again, this assumption thing is, assumption is honestly, oh, I thought or I assumed. That means I hoped or I was thinking for my own benefit to do this is the better thing. So assumption is, honestly, it never works. It's the worst thing you can do, especially in a relationship. And yes, sometimes I question something and thank God it didn't happen very often. And Jay felt like I feel like, what is this, like an interrogation? And I'm like, well, that's your feelings. I wasn't interrogating. So then we need to talk about it later if, when you're ready, because if he's upset and he feels attacked or too many questions, then this is not the right time for me to talk. And again, I am a self-proclaimed impatient person. He's not going to get too much time from me. So he needs to just figure it out and I will come back. But we know that about each other. See, that's the point. He knows how I am. I know how he is. So even I'm impatient, I take myself a little bit more time than I would normally. Even he needs his space, he doesn't take too much space. He comes back to me because he knows I'm not very patient. I'm anxious. I get anxious. So we get that, and we don't give each other hard time. We know some of the, I would say, weaknesses in each other, but we don't use that against each other. Because we can, then we need to pack our bags and the relationship will suffer eventually. So assumption is not good. Being open is perfect. Checking with the partner is great. Check with yourself first. Find your solid ground and feel safe, comfortable, secure about yourself. Everybody is amazing. Know your values, know your blessings, and then step in the conversation. Then put your ego and the defense aside and have a conversation with a friend, loved one, at the coffee, or even a relationship partner or whatever.
And I want to say, if you are having a hard time with any of this, like in your own relationships and your own life, and really struggling, Alan and I have gotten tons of help, like where we've gone to, I know I've gone to years of therapy. I'm pretty sure he's gone to years of therapy too over time. I've been to some different kinds of healers and different kinds of therapies that are not just traditional. My point is that I didn't just get here by accident, and I didn't just get here alone, like on an island unto myself. I've had to get many mentors along the way. And I have to say, if I didn't have my mentors, I don't know where I would be, because I'm just very fortunate that I happen to find people that are much further along in their life and in their journey and where I'm headed. And it's very helpful to talk to those people that already have been there. And I'm not to be a copycatter, but from a standpoint of getting advice, getting insights from people that know, people that already understand being in those positions or going into those areas of life. So it's important, and it can be scary. I know for myself, I had a very hard time. I still can have a hard time asking for help, but it's also a part of life. It's important to be able to ask for help. That's part of how we engage one another. So Raven is joining us. Hi, Raven. She says, hey, guys. It's great to see you, Raven.
Hi, Raven. Great seeing you here.
Great show earlier. Raven's getting into some topics that are hitting the mainstream. They're topics that have been kind of in the ethers for a long time, but they're hitting the mainstream, and Raven is fearless in bringing them to our forefront here on the airwaves at 1-2 Radio. So we appreciate Raven for that. And I'm trying to think, do you have any other help? I know your therapies or anything else that you would say has been a beneficial factor for you?
Definitely, I keep repeating myself. I think like a broken record. He always said, assumption is the worst thing you can do to a relationship. And yes, we always hear that open conversation or communication. And we're like, what the hell? I mean, I'm done talking. I'm tired of talking. It's not talking. It's not just sitting there and talking for hours. It's just checking on each other and asking open, honest questions and giving open, honest questions. Be naked, be vulnerable, and you will see the person being also open. And you are so, when you are really open and transparent, it can be scary, but it's not that bad. The other person will see it too. And how they react, how they take it, they will show themselves to you. And that's where you know the other person, the true self of that other person.
And it's a process, because it is a two-way street. And, you know, in Alan and I's case, I'm very blessed that both of us are willing to engage one another in this way. We respect one another. We love one another. And we also honor one another. And not everybody has that in their relationships. And so what we're talking about, it's important that both parties are able to come with that. It kind of ties one hand or two hands behind your back if one person in the relationship is not able to meet the other person in that way. But like to Alan's point, you'll get to know really fast, because the real version of them will show up. The more authentic and real you are, that will bring the authentic, real version of them. And you're either going to love it or you're not. But at least you'll know.
Yes. And like Jay said, it's so true. Once you're very open and transparent, seriously, the person has no choice. They have no choice but showing their true selves. In any way, and you will see it, either they're deceitful or they're taking advantage or they're really genuine and kind, and that's what you see. So you have nothing to lose, and that's where you check in with yourself again, find your blessings and values, and you are on the highest pedestal, and now be yourself. Let's see what the other person brings to the table.
All right, so I love this conversation, and I wanted to, we talked about kind of messing around with the format a little bit, and I'm going to put you on the spot, but I know you have a lot of beauty secrets, so I'm only going to have you share one. But Alan, as you all know, he works in the beauty industry as a hairstylist and a makeup artist, and I'm trying to think of what to call you in the title. There is no title for what you do in the way of transforming people into beautician. New looks. But I feel like beautician, that reminds me of like Steel Magnolias, like kind of.
I love Dolly Parton in Steel Magnolias. I love her. Yes. So
we want to bring one beauty tip, beauty secret to the show as a way to wrap up the show. I can give you an idea if you don't have one, but I'm going to let you go.
I have an idea. It's a very basic idea. So instead of one secret, there is two very basic secrets. We always do this. Using a conditioner on your hair. So a lot of people are, sometimes they're like, oh, I buy this shampoo and conditioner. They're two in one. Number one, do not ever use those. That's not real. Shampoos and conditioners, they have to be separate. When you apply the conditioner, sometimes people say, oh, my hair gets so oily, my scalp gets oily. You don't have to apply it to your scalp. Mid shaft to the end, apply it on your hair and let it sit in your hair. Do your business in the shower and then let it sit for about 5 minutes and then rinse it out. You will benefit more from it.
And I can say, because I was one of those people that used both shampoo and conditioner all the time, that it was hard for me just to start using conditioner. I felt like, is this really going to work? And it really does. I have to say, it really did. And especially with my longer hair, it was like a huge benefit, because the shampoo would really dry it out. And like I could tell it would deplete it. And I would tell that just the conditioner, it would end up cleaning while also making sure everything felt soft and felt renewed. So I, again, reluctantly had a hard time at first, but I did it. And I like probably shampoo my hair once a week, maybe, and then use just conditioner every other day when I'm in the shower, and it works amazing. So let us know if you give that a try or if you're already doing that. Let us know in the comments. And Raven has a comment for you. She says, I just love Alan's voice and accent. I can listen to him all night. It would be very awesome if he made readings of bedtime stories. I'd buy every one, LOL. And then Cindy said, I would buy two.
Oh, my God. You guys are so sweet. Well, the bedtime stories. Well, we have to come up with the book. And, well, at night for bedtime stories, is it going to be adults or children?
I know, right? He could tell either one, but we have to definitely know which one. Babes, where can they find you if they would like to work with you?
Well, my website is Alan, Hair by Alan. It's A-L-E-N, hairbyalan.com. And my information is all on it with some pictures. And also that's my Instagram. In case you guys want to go check out the Instagram and follow, you're welcome to do so.
Love it. And you can find me over on 12listen.com. That is our sister site to 12 Radio. You can get one-on-one readings and support from me by the minute or by the block of time. I would love to work with you. You can find me over on 12listen.com. Please also, while you're there, check out the gratitude board. It is a free service right there on the front page. You can put what you're grateful for, and the entire staff empowers it with our attention and our prayers. And so one of the magical ways you can use it is put something that you're working on manifesting, but that you haven't yet, that you know you would be grateful for if you did, put it in present tense as if you did, and we empower that with you, and we help make it happen faster and faster. It's that whole, when two or more are gathered, it empowers the intention, it empowers what those people are wanting to create, and we do that when we join forces together. So thank you for joining forces with us tonight. Here on Ethereal Styles and Soulful Smiles, I'm going to get our music here queued up. And while I do that, I'm going to let Alan give his final words of the night.
I wish you all a wonderful night, and thank you for listening to us. Check in with yourself whenever you can, daily or 10 times a day. And love yourself. And then check with your loved ones, and you'll be fine. We love you, and have a wonderful night.